In 1855, just a few years before the Civil War, America's greatest turmoil, a band of settlers began a journey from Bethel, Missouri to the Oregon Territory. They shared a common Christian faith and a belief in living by what they called the Diamond Rule, which was using their combined talents and resources to make life better for others. They envisioned a community built on service, brotherhood, and compassion, but they had no idea of what those ideals and their faith would cost them. Bestselling author Jane Kirkpatrick discovered that cost and tells the true story of these settlers in the beautiful new book, Aurora, An American Experience in Quilt and Craft. The Bethel settlers who founded Aurora left few journals and letters, but the quilts, musical instruments, baskets, textiles, furniture, and even musical compositions that they crafted tell fascinating tales. As do the descendants, many still living in the small community, which is just south of Portland. Jane was so inspired by the Aurora stories that they drove her to write her latest novels, the Change and Cherish historical series. Waterbrook has shipped more than 63,000 copies of the first two books in that series, A Clearing in the Wild and A Tendering in the Storm, in their first year and a half of release. The third novel in the series, Amending at the Edge, goes on sale in April 2008, and Aurora has even more to tell than explored in the novels of American settlers driven by a can-do spirit and led by the convictions of a Christian faith. Jane has collected both the oral histories of the community passed down through generations, as well as rare quilt patterns, secrets of the community's highly esteemed handiwork and craftsmanship, and more than 100 photographs, many historically prized and never before published. She combines her historian's know-how and storyteller's heart to tell the story of Aurora, and the result is a fascinating tour through time and a realm of possibilities true for today. Aurora begins with how the Bethel pioneers left Missouri with trumpet calls and a father singing a dirge for a son who had died just days before the wagon train west. Rather than bury their son in familiar soil, the father directed that this son be carried west with his 8 siblings, and so a wagon pulling a casket led the way. The Aurora community's story is dramatic, and the pictures collected by Jane from the local museum archives, as well as descendants' basements, are arresting. Anyone who loves the history of the American West or quilts and crafts or true life drama will be riveted by this tale. And Jane's with us today to talk a little more about the significance of the community. You know Jane is the best-selling author of 2 nonfiction books, including her award-winning memoir, Homestead, about modern pioneer life pursuing the edge of possibility. And I mention Homestead because that title gives a great picture of Jane's 160-acre ranch in eastern Oregon, and we're connecting with her there by phone today. Jane, it's so great to have you on the line with us today to talk about Aurora.
It's really nice to be here to talk about Aurora.
What was one of the most interesting stories that you discovered behind the crafts that you found there?
I think one of the stories that really intrigued me was just looking at the kind of weaving that they did out of straw to protect their sleeves. They would make these little cuffs that are just really exquisitely made, and they were designed so that they could not have to have these frayed sleeves. Of course, the men could roll their sleeves up when they worked, but for the women, that was particularly important. I just liked the idea that they had these little extra amenities to make their work experience go smoother, but they did it with a lot of beauty and practicality.
Beauty was really key to everything that people in Aurora did. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about your thoughts on how beauty and faith work together to help this community of people go west to begin with, and then to settle where they would help one another build homes and workplaces. And
well, they were just such a part of the American experience, which is, people came to this country as opposed to leaving this country to go somewhere else. So they were people who came here and were seekers, just like lots of other people who headed west. They were craftsmen from the old school, from the guilds, but they didn't have those kinds of guilds here in America, and so people began to individualize. And even though they were part of a communal society that, they had individual homes that were uniquely built, but they... they put all of their resources together so that they could take care of each other. And what I guess I find very contemporary in some ways is that some research shows that a lot of people today, if you ask them about their work, they'll tell you that 8 out of 10 people say, well, my work doesn't use my greatest resources. It doesn't use my strengths. And what I find really quite exquisite about this community is that they live their everyday life being able to use their greatest strength. And so the person who was the best seamstress got the one sewing machine that the colony decided to purchase. That happened to be Emma Wagner Giese. The people who were the best lathe makers were allowed to make lathes, and some they used there, but some they sold to other people in the neighborhood to help support their community. But they didn't have to make little extra fine pieces to the craftsmanship, and they did that. So they would put a little flair onto the tin spoon that they had made, or the brass buckets that they used for washing. They would paint them in really bright colors. So even though they wore kind of drab, dark clothes, the women's petticoats were pretty colorful. And so I found it just sort of intriguing that they could live their everyday life doing what they felt they had the greatest skill and talent to do, and that in doing that they were being creative people for their community. And to me, that's really much about what the Christian Walk is about.
How is that a lesson for us today?
Well, I think for so many people today, our work doesn't have a beginning and a middle and an end. And we don't even get to see the product of what we've done. And so crafts and craftsmanship is one of the ways that we can gain that sense of appreciation and accomplishment for something that we've finished. But it's also, I think, a really indicator of how legacy is you know, supported within this community and in a contemporary life. If we look at our own ancestors, if we have something that our great-grandfather made, a toy chest or a duck decoy or something, that really is a treasured part of our family history, and it's part of the stories that really tell us who we are and who we're going to be because of the artifacts that are left behind. And so I guess part of what I hope in this book that is a contemporary lesson is to encourage people to pay attention to their own family stories and their own artifacts that might be stuck up in their attic or that they didn't realize really had a story behind it, but that's who their ancestors were, and that what they might leave behind for their children is really worthy of their time.
Jane, thanks so much for being with us today, and I think I have to go look in the basement now and see what's down there.
Okay, well, it's a delight to talk to you, and I'm hoping you have a great day.
Thanks.